God in Christianity, What is His Nature? By Dr. Naji Afaj. Dedication. To those who seek the truth sincerely, honestly, and open-mindedly. Pre-reading questions. 1. What is the nature of God in Christianity? 2. Is God one or three? Trinity. 3. Is Jesus equal with God? 4. Is Jesus God or part of God? 5. Is Jesus a son of man or son of God? 6. So who is Jesus really? 7. What is your opinion? Please read the following text carefully, critically, and without any preconceptions. Jesus said, "Seek the truth, and the truth will set you free." As a seeker of the truth and a student of life, and after many years of observation, research, and comparative study, it appears to me that people often base their beliefs and judgments on weak, sandy foundations, rather than the solid foundation of rock that Jesus recommended. Concerning the topic at hand, I have noticed some major differences between what is commonly and officially understood about God in Christianity and what the Bible itself states. In this booklet, I would like to share with you, out of love and concern, what I have noticed and learned throughout my continuous journey of research, analysis, and study. The intent of this work is to honestly and sincerely present the truth that I have found, not to hurt the feelings of anyone. Now let us turn to discuss some issues and questions concerning the nature of God in Christianity, namely the Trinity and divinity of Jesus. Is God one or three? Is Jesus God or part of God? What do you think? What is your answer? Let's get the answer from the Bible. One came and said unto him, "Good Master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he, Jesus, said unto him, "Why callest thou good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Matthew 19:16-17. Why callest thou me good? Or in modern English, why do you call me good? We wouldn't find this wording and meaning in some Bibles. This text is found in King James's version. Don't take my word for it. Check your Bible. Several questions can be asked about the above verses. Some of the more intuitive ones are, why do you call me good? Why did Jesus question his own goodness? Jesus emphatically stated that there is none good but one, that is, God. Why did he refer to the one God as the good one only? Why did he exclude himself from being good if he were God? Jesus explicitly pointed out that if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Why didn't Jesus command the questioner to believe in him? Jesus, as God, in order to enter into eternal life? Based on Jesus' testimony, isn't keeping the commandments enough for getting eternal life? Now, let us reread the verses of Matthew 19:16-17, as stated in the King James Version, and the same verses as reported in the New International Version of the Holy Bible. One came and said unto him, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God." In King James Version. Now, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." In the New International Version. To make it easy to compare, here are Jesus' two different questions. According to King James Version, KJV, in simple English, Jesus asked, "Why do you call me good?" But according to the New International Version, NIV, Jesus said, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Please honestly compare between Jesus' question in the King James Version and his question in the New International Version. Do they have the same meaning? Can they both be correct? Going back to the critical question, is Jesus God? I think that if Jesus were God or part of God, his logical response would be to approve of what the questioner called him, i.e., good master. Sound reasoning and plain logic tell us that God is good. And if Jesus were God or part of God, part of the Trinity, he must be good. Don't you agree? Presumably, some of the possible, expected responses that Jesus could utter in response to the young man saying, "Good master," include, "Certainly, I am good, for I am God." "You are right, I am good." Or at least knowing that he was obviously good, being God or a manifestation of God, Jesus could have answered the young man without taking issue with his words by saying, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." But astonishingly, Jesus responded to the young man's words, "Good master," with something unexpected. He denied that he was good, wondering, "Why do you call me good?" So instead of denying his goodness, wouldn't it have been more reasonable for Jesus to seize this occasion and acknowledge that he was good, since he was God or a manifestation of the one God, if such were the case? Why would he refer to the true God alone and not reveal his own good divinity? Was he hiding the truth about himself from the questioner? "Now this is life eternal, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." John 17:3. In this verse, Jesus again distinguishes himself from the only true God. It is this only true God who created and sent Jesus. So who has the full authority to command and send? The only true God or Jesus? Who is greater, the one who orders and sends, or the one who is ordered and sent? There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. This verse points to two identities, one God, and two, one mediator, Jesus. Jesus is described as the man. The verse did not call him the God Jesus Christ. In fact, nowhere in the Bible is Jesus called God. To further discuss and answer the question, is Jesus God or part of God? Let us carefully, critically, and objectively read the following parts of verses reported in Matthew 4:1-10. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he, the devil, said to him, Jesus, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Did these verses trigger any questions or thoughts in your mind? Let me share with you some of the questions and thoughts that struck my mind after reading those above verses. 1. The Bible says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. I wonder who has more authority and more power, Jesus or the Spirit? Why didn't Jesus lead himself into the desert if he were God? Does God need someone to lead him? 2. Based on the testimony of the above verses, the devil, Satan, tempted Jesus, who is considered to be God by some Christians. The simple and logical question that could be raised is, can God be tempted? The same Bible tells us that God can't be tempted. This fact is uttered by Jesus in the same story of temptation. Similarly, James, the brother of Jesus, said, God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. James 1:13. 3. The Bible reports that after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he, Jesus, was hungry. Let's reason together. Does God fast? To whom was Jesus fasting? To himself as God, or to someone who is greater than him? Does God feel hungry or thirsty? 4. In the story of the temptation of Jesus, you find this heading in several Bibles. We came to discover that the devil, Satan, moved and controlled Jesus. Did Satan do that with Jesus the man or Jesus the God? If Satan did that with Jesus the man, what is the point? And if the devil did that with Jesus the God, can God be tried, moved and controlled? Let's remember James's words. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. At the end of the dialogue between Jesus and Satan, and after Satan asks Jesus to fall down and worship him, Jesus said to the devil, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Matthew 4:10. I assume if Jesus were God incarnate, he may have easily responded, "No, Satan, it is you who must fall down and worship me, your God." But instead, he invoked the above scripture about worshipping the true God only. On the other hand, we learn from the story that Satan saw Jesus. Satan said to Jesus. Satan heard Jesus. Satan took Jesus. Satan showed Jesus. Satan spoke with Jesus. Please read the whole story of the temptation of Jesus, Matthew 4:1-10. But the Bible emphatically indicates that God cannot be seen or heard. No one has ever seen him, and no one can see him. 1 Timothy 6:16. You have never heard his voice nor seen his shape. John 5:37. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17. Additionally, before I conclude this section, let me ask, during Jesus' life on earth, didn't his family, people, and followers see and hear him? Therefore, according to the description of God in the above verses, Jesus cannot be God. Isn't this reasonable and logical? So what is the truth? Think about it. Now, let us turn to discuss other critical questions. Are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit equal? Is God the Son, Jesus, equal with God the Father? Is God the Son, Jesus, equal with God the Holy Spirit? God the Father, God the HS, God the Son, are they equal? Let us see what Jesus himself says. My Father is greater than I, Jesus. John 14:28. My Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all. John 10:29. What I teach is not my own teaching, but it comes from God who sent me. John 7:16. I can, of my own self, do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. John 5:30. No one knows, however, when that day or hour will come, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father knows. Mark 13:32. Anyone who says something against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but whoever says something against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, now or ever. Matthew 12:32. After reading these clear-cut statements, as well as many others spoken by Jesus himself, what can we conclude? Based on Jesus' honest and frank testimony that the only true God, the Father, is greater than him and greater than the Holy Spirit, that what he teaches is not his, that he and the Holy Spirit know nothing about the last day, and that he can do nothing himself, a severe seeker of the truth should accept that Jesus says about himself and not make himself God or the equal of God. Let me discuss another significant question. Is Jesus the only Son of God? Let us get the answer from the Bible. Adam is the Son of God. Luke 3:38. Israel is my firstborn son. Exodus 4:22. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Psalms 2:7. KJV. So according to the Bible, and announced by the Father himself, David is another begotten son, with a capital S. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Matthew 5:9. Tracing this title, Son of God, in the Bible, we can find many sons of God, and that Jesus is not the only son. It can be concluded that the Bible uses this title, Son of God, figuratively, to mean righteous, pious, selected, or godly, God-conscious. This leads us to the critical question which we must ask. So, who was Jesus? After discussing evidence from the Bible that God is one, not three, that Jesus is not God or part of God, that he is not equal with God, and that he is not the Son of God in the literal sense, we must ask, so, who was Jesus? Jesus the man. The times that Jesus is referred to as man or son of man in the Bible are many. Below are just some verses. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs. Acts 2:22. These words were uttered by Peter, a very dear friend and follower of Jesus, and he witnessed things closely. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Matthew 11:19. This man is really the prophet. John 7:40. Now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. John 8:40. King James Version. Some Bibles do not reveal this truth. Check your Bible. At this critical moment of his life, Jesus testifies himself that he is a man. Why didn't he clearly and openly say, Now you seek to kill me, God incarnate, who has told you the truth? Is it possible that he was hiding the truth? Jesus the prophet. This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. Matthew 21:11. Jesus said, A prophet is never accepted in his hometown. Luke 4:24. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. John 13:16. Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. John 6:14. Jesus, who was a prophet. Luke 24:19. These are just some of the many biblical verses which point out that Jesus was a prophet and a messenger of the one true God. Again, nowhere in the Bible is he called God. A final critical and significant piece of information about Jesus. In his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God, who could save him from death. Because he was humble and devoted, God heard him. Hebrews 5:7. What are the implications and conclusions that we can derive from the above-cited biblical texts? Conclusion. The above statements from the Bible form a coherent message that there is only one God. I am the only God. Besides me, there is no other God. There never was and never will be. I alone am the Lord, the only one who can save you. Isaiah 43:10-11. I am the Lord your God, and I tolerate no partners. Exodus 20:5. Hundreds of similar statements occur in the Bible as compared to just a few which contradict them. Please see the notes following these conclusions. The resurrectant theme is that Jesus is the prophet of the only true God who created Jesus, created us, and created all things. Approaching the end of this journey of seeking the truth, I would like to leave you with some questions to think about. Isn't it time to put things in their right places? Isn't it time to place Jesus in his right and respected position as only a man and a prophet of the one true God? Isn't it time to turn to our only true God, the Creator, and worship him alone before it's too late, before death? Notes. It is believed by a growing number of biblical scholars that it was Paul, born in 5 AD, who reshaped the major beliefs in Christianity, including the divinity and sonship of Jesus, original sin, crucifixion, salvation through the blood of Jesus, etc. Furthermore, it is widely accepted by these scholars that Paul wrote his letters before the four Gospels, which were later coloured and influenced by Paul's beliefs and teachings. The difference between Paul's teachings and Jesus' original message contributed to the considerable confusion we find today about the nature of God. For more information about this, please refer to my upcoming article, What Went Wrong? A final thought. After reading this booklet carefully, critically, and open-mindedly, a sincere, honest, and serious seeker of the truth might raise questions like, so what is the truth? Who is the true God? What is his true message? What went wrong? These questions and others will be discussed in upcoming writings, God's willing. References. 1. The Holy Bible, King James Version. 2. Good News Bible, Today's English Version. 3. Holy Bible, New International Version. 4. Holy Bible, Revised Standard Version. 5. The Bible Library, 29 works on the one CD-ROM disc. It includes 9 Bibles and 20 biblical references. 1995, Ellis Enterprises Incorporated, Oklahoma, USA. 6. The Multi-Bible CD-ROM, Innotech Multimedia, Incorporated, Ontario, Canada. 7. Several websites from the internet. 8. Information and feedback from my public lectures audience and my weekly TV programs viewers. Useful websites: www.sultan.org, www.edialogue.org, www.islamhouse.com. Any feedback or corrections are most welcome and appreciated. For further information, questions, views, suggestions, or feedback, please feel free to contact Dr. Naji Afaj. Twitter at Naji Afaj. Website www.abctruth.net. Email abctruth@hotmail.com. info@abctruth.com. P. P.O. Box 418, Hofhof, Al Asher, 31982, KSA. After reading this booklet critically, I would love to hear from you. For more free Islamic audiobooks, please visit www.hearingislam.com.